me okay? Good, good, good. All right, appreciate that song. Appreciate the introduction that Brother Mike kind of gave us for my message this evening. You must have read part of my notes talking about how the world's so upside down. So that's kind of what the Lord laid on my heart this evening was how we're living in a crazy world. Living in a real crazy world. If you would, if you got your Bibles, I'll try not to be long. I'm just going to kind of hit some of the high spots. I've got a combination of about two or three different thoughts in one message, but I'll try to hit the high spots tonight, and maybe next time we'll try to finish up on it. If you got your Bible, let's all stand, kind of stretch our legs a little bit. I know it's been a long day. Wednesdays are usually a little bit tough. You've been outside working or just taking care of business, and it's always a little bit tough to get here Wednesday night, but I appreciate you coming out this evening. We're in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses number 1 through 9. Proverbs 3, 1 through 9. Book of Proverbs is called a proverbial book. A lot of it was written by Solomon. A majority of what a lot of the writers and commentators say that Solomon wrote most of the book of Proverbs. We won't get into it, but if you look in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32, it talks about how that Solomon was a man that wrote over 3,000 Proverbs. He wrote over 3,000 Proverbs, or he spoke that amount as well. And it also talks about it in 1 Kings 4 and 32, I believe it was. It talks about that he wrote over 1,005 songs, proverbial songs. So as you study the book of Proverbs, as you look at the book of Proverbs, always understand that there are teaching lessons within it. And I think so often if you're looking for a spot in your life to fill a void, that maybe you're missing something, that you just can't put your hands onto something, go to the book of Proverbs because it'll teach you a lot. It'll give a lot of lifetime messages for today's day and age through Old Time Testament teachings. But Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, it says this. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good standing in the sight of God and man." Key verse right here. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him." Doesn't say ourselves, doesn't say the government, doesn't say the president. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thine increase." Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for these folks who have come out, made a special effort to hear your word. I pray that you'll touch the words. Use me, Lord. I'm nothing without you. Just pray that you'll help us, encourage us, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. If you've got a scratch piece of paper, I'm going to do something different. I'm not going to get too far out there, but if you've got a scratch piece of paper, or if you've got something that you can write on, or if you write in your Bibles, which I do as well, I don't think there's anything in the Scriptures that tells us not to. I do it because it just gives me some notes to relate upon later. But if you've got that scratch piece of paper, you got a paper or a pencil or pen, I just want you to write down six different words. I want you to write down six different words, and I'm going to give you the successful living, success for a successful Christian living. Six simple words. The first one is listen. The second word is trust. The third word is obey. The fourth word is fear. The fifth word is honor. And the sixth word is submit. Listen, trust, obey, fear, honor, and submit. And what I just did was I gave you a simple solution for a successful life. I've kind of given you the end of the message already, and we haven't even started. So, Brother Mike, we can just go ahead and close our Bibles and go to the house right now, can't we? Because I've already gave you the end of the message. We haven't even got into it yet. But I wanted to do that because it's pretty simplified. When you look in chapter 3 of Proverbs 1 through 9, you're going to find all those words in those first 9 verses of Scripture. When you look back through Proverbs, you'll see that it shows us 3 different lessons. It shows us Solomon's shortcomings. He trusted in the power of his own self instead of trusting in the power of God. You see Israel's shortcomings, where they trusted for a king that was coming, that was a powerful king. It wasn't the Lord's Savior, but they were looking for a mighty, powerful king that would lead them. But it's also a good roadmap for us because it's going to show us our shortcomings as well. And we trust in our own earthly goods, our own earthly successes, and not trusting in the Lord to get us through, as it talks about right here. I've got wrote down here, it's an applicational teaching lessons from past experiences of failures. And I think if we can all relate to that, there's things in the past that you've done that you failed upon, but yet all of a sudden, somewhere in the future, you can take that failure and draw upon it and help you to learn a lesson from that past. I think we'd all be foolish if we said we've never made a mistake in our life. Amen? Or we've put our foot in our mouth in the past. Men, haven't we? Amen? We've done things in the past that we can learn about. And that's what Proverbs really is. It's a historical looking back in past times where lessons that we can learn to help us grow, to strengthen us in the times going forward. We can learn from these experiences. If you'll just give me about 25, 30 minutes of your time tonight, I'm going to save you thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Amen? How many of y'all like to save thousands of dollars? How many of y'all would like to save valuable time in your life? Okay? If you listen good, you won't have to go to Dr. Oz and watch him on TV to learn about your medical issues. Or you won't have to listen to Dr. Phil this coming week to learn about your psychological problems. And Judge Judy, you won't need any information from her about your legal problems. I also wrote down here Bill Gates. If you're looking to start an entrepreneur new business, you don't have to go to Bill Gates to get that, or maybe Warren Buffett to find out what's the next big hot stock ticket that you can bet upon. But if you'll just give me about 25 or 30 minutes, I'm going to show you some keys to successes in your life to get you through those times of failures that happen in our lives. Both the pathway to success I've got here is through personal, emotional, physical, spiritual, financial, and relational issues in our lives. And we all have them. I think we'd be foolish to say that at times we have relational issues where we don't get along with our spouse, we don't get along with our children. You could have financial issues as a young couple or as a growing couple with a family. You've got issues in your life as well. You have issues in your life as well. Emotional problems. I think we all run across a period of time in our lives we have emotional problems. Spiritual problems. I think we'd be foolish to say that there isn't a time in our life we've been in a valley. Spiritually, we are ready to give up on God and go our own way. Amen? But if you'll just pay attention tonight, I'm going to try to get you through some of those periods of time. Verses 1 through 3, if you looked at the verses of Scripture of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 talks about it being the first word we wrote by was listen. And it's amazing. When you go through chapter 3 of Proverbs, there'll be an exhortation, there'll be a statement, but then there'll also be a blessing that comes behind it. I'm a pretty simple kind of guy. If you just lay it out to me, I'm kind of black and white. There is no gray areas of me. If you just show me something and help me and direct me to that, I can see the blessing that comes through it. Look at verses 1 through 3, and it says to listen. Verses 1 through 3, it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them around thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Verse number 2, for the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Verse number 1, going backwards, my son, forget not the law. Let not thine heart keep my commandments. He's saying, listen, if you'll just listen to what I have to show you, verse number 2, I'm going to give you a blessing. For the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Number 2, the word trust. Look at number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. If you'll just trust Him, look at the blessings you got in verse number 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. The third word, obey, verse number 6. In all thy ways acknowledge, and He shall direct thy path. If we'll just trust Him and obey Him during that period of time, look at the blessing we have in 6b. He shall direct thy paths. Are you looking for a way to go? Are you looking for direction in your life? Trust Him. Put your faith in Him. Why? Because He will direct your path. The fourth word we had was fear. Verse number 7. Be wise in the Lord, be wise in thine eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. That word fear means reverence. It means to give reverence unto something or someone. Look at the blessings if we do that in verse number 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor and submit come in verse number 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of the increase. Where's the blessing? Verse number 10. So that thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall be burst out with new wine. 6 words that can change your life successfully going forward. And it's proven in God's Word, if we'll follow those 6 words, blessings will come about. But here's where we mess up. When we leave off number 1 or number 2 or number 3 or number 4 or number 5 or number 6. We start going our own way, start going our own direction. Those blessings aren't going to come towards us. We're not going to be blessed because we're not following God's Word. Like Brother Mike said and like the lady sang this evening, it is a crazy world. What do you do in a crazy world? Those are 6 keys for success, but I think we're all of right mind here. And we all understand that there are going to be times we're going to have trials and tribulations. Amen? There's going to be things that crop into our lives that are outside of our control. And that's the time that we got to stick and understand God's Word and trust in it. It's a crazy world in which we live in. Which would be the second part of my topic, I guess I'd call it. It's a crazy world which we live in. What do you do in the crazy world that we live in? I read something off the web this afternoon. It talked about the Girl Scouts. I don't know if any of y'all have seen it or heard about it, but it talked about some of the new things that the Girl Scouts are coming out with. It says here, what is the Girl Scouts' position on serving transgender youth? What is the Girl Scouts' position on serving transgender youth? And this is what their website says. It's not something Brother Dwayne came up with. You can go to their website, go to GirlScouts.com and read their mission statement. And it says, Girl Scouts is proud to be the premier leader organization for girls in the country. Placement of transgender youth is handled on a case-by-case basis with the welfare and best interest of the child and the members of the troop group in question a top priority. Listen. That said, if the child is recognized by the family, by the school, by the community as a girl, and lives culturally as a girl, then Girl Scouts is an organization that can serve her in setting that is both emotionally and physically safe. So if you've got a young man who all of a sudden decides that he's no longer a young man, that he feels like he's now a girl, the Girl Scouts are saying, you know what? If you're socially accepted at your school and at your community and your family, we will bring you in and we will entertain you and we will take care of you. The world is going upside down. The world is going upside down. We've lost our sense of morality. We have no sense for life. Y'all know my position with Georgia Right to Life and West Georgia Right to Life. And I give this example all the time, but 55 million babies have been aborted since 1973. And in your mind, if you'll just picture the states, and I've used this illustration before, but it really drives home the point that we've lost as a culture life. We've lost the opportunities to life is sacred from conception till natural death. Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, Kentucky, Arkansas, come across Alabama, Georgia, I already said Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, go up to West Virginia, wipe them off the map. They're no longer there. When you visit those states, you're going to be shut down because there's no people there. That's 55 million babies that have been aborted since 1973. And we look at that number and say, well, that's the babies, but what about assisted suicide? You think we're a crazy upside-down world? Assisted suicide. 5 states now in the union legalize assisted suicide. 1 has already decriminalized assisted suicide. 2 states are reviewing laws to have assisted suicide as law within those states. That brings it to 5, and 1 is 6, and 2 is 8 states now that have said, you know what, it's okay to kill yourself. You go back to Ephesians 2 and 10, we are created by God. We are a creation of God. By doing that, all of a sudden you said, God has made some bad stuff. You don't have any relationship with the Lord at that point. So you see the assisted suicide going on. Gay marriage. We talk about what's going on in the world's of crazy. Look at gay marriage. We signed up for a cruise. We try to take one once a year just to kind of get on unwound and get away for a while, cut off the emails, cut off the cell phones. And I went to register a couple months ago, and it asked the questions. It said, what is your name? And I put my name. Your wife's name, I put her name. And it says, significant other. And it says, your partner. I'm sitting here, wait a minute, my partner? What is my partner? What is this significant other part? Husband and wife. God created a man and a woman. He didn't create a man as significant other. Amen? The world is going crazy. The world is an upside down place. So what do you do during those periods of time? What do you do during those periods of time? How many of y'all would say that you're probably better off than you were than your parents were in your lifetime right now? How many would y'all say that? How many of y'all would you say you're probably better off right now than your parents? I think a majority of us would say, you know what? We're probably better off now we are than Karen's parents. And Karen's parents would probably say that they're better off than what their parents were. Okay? I did a quick inventory this afternoon in my house to see if this was true in my house. I went through and did an inventory. We've got 7 TVs in our house. 7 TVs. I'm sitting there saying, wait a minute. When did we ever get 7 TVs? I remember as a kid, I had that one black and white TV that was about this big and about this big and a set of rabbit ears. And me and my brothers and sisters, if mom and dad wanted to watch a specific station, and we only got 3 stations, one of us would have to go over and turn those rabbit ears to face the right way to make sure we were getting the right pickup on the television sets. We've got 3 cars. We've got 2 cell phones. We've got a landline phone. Our Comcast has got access to 150 different stations. We've got 2 microwaves, 2 laptops. I don't know how many credit cards we've got. We've probably got 4 or 5 credit cards, a Target card, a Belk card. You know what? We are doing better as a generation than the previous generations that's come behind us. What about technology? I thought about technology. You ready? Some of you that are 50 and above like me, some of these words are going to be Greek, okay? And don't even ask me to try to explain it to you because I don't know. But you ready? Hold on tight. Bluetooth, hands-free, Android, Windows, Mac, Apple, smartwatch, App Store, Wi-Fi, tablet, Nook, Kindle, the cloud, upload, download, HD, LED, LCD. You ready? Next part. iPhones, iTunes, iPads, iShares, iMacs, IT communications. I don't know what's going on. The world is turned upside down. How do you keep up with all this stuff? I was getting my hair cut yesterday over at Scott Lester's place on 27. And it was a young little guy there. He was 6 or 7 years old. And I'm, you know, if you've been to Scott's place, there's always a bunch of people. So I'm doing my phone and I'm doing some emails. Little kid's kind of rambunctious. He's outgoing. And he says, I can help you move that chair, he told Scott when he was done. Scott said, you're looking good. You look like you're ready to go on a date, young man. He's a kid 6 years old. He said, what's your girlfriend going to think? You got a girlfriend? Little kid said, yes, I do. I got a girlfriend. He said, she's going to love that little haircut. He said, where she live at? He says, I know where she lives because it's on my GPS on my phone. And the guy next to me looked at each other and said, this kid's 6 years old. He's got GPS on his phone. He knows his girlfriend's address. The world is upside down. The technology is killing us. But I say all that to get to a point, okay? And I know that's kind of funny and quizzical and comical, but I say it all that to get to this point because we have all this sophistication. We've got the technical sophistication. We've got materially advanced sophistication. We've got financially advanced. But you know what? We have gotten so far advanced as a generation that we've gotten dumb. Emotionally, we're a wreck. Physically, we're a wreck. Spiritually, we're a wreck. Let me give you some facts about suicide. When you think we're upside down as a generation, the suicide rate for the 2013, 41,149 suicides were committed in 2013. It was the 10th leading cause of death. There was one person that committed suicide in 2013 every 13 minutes. Somebody was committing suicide. In 2000, 10.4% was the suicide rate for 100,000 people. In the year 2013, 12.6% was the suicide rate, a 25% increase in suicides from the year 2000 to the year 2013. And after cancer and heart disease, suicide accounts for the most years lost in life for an individual or a generation. And what it means by that is all the years of individuals who committed suicide were typically that younger years, younger to middle age years. All those years that they were lost was only third to cancer and to heart disease. You think we're not an upside down society right now? You think there's problems? People walking around like they might have be okay and they might have that smile on their face, but inside there's a fire going on. There's a battle going on. There are spiritual issues that on the outside everything might look great, but you don't know what's bubbling up, what's erupting on the inside. Amen? That's why us as Christians have got to show the love of Christ. We've got to show that, hey, Christ is in us. We're here to help you. If you need anything, please let me know. I'll be praying for you and actively be praying for them. Because we don't know the fires and the battles that are going on inside of individuals' life. What do you do during these periods of time? What do you do during turbulent times? What are the feelings that we have? Let me check and see so I don't lose track of time. All right, we're good. 8:06. What are some things, real quickly? Let me give you a couple of thoughts that happen during these turbulent times in our lives. Look at Numbers 11. What are some of the feelings that you might be going through right now? You might be feeling these things right now during turbulent times in your life when the world is turned upside down. You don't know which way to go. Your faith is being tested. What are the things that you're feeling? Numbers 11:1 says this. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Verse 5. We remember the fish. Listen, here's what Israel's saying. We remember the fish which did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. Verse 10. And then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of the tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. Verse 11. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I found not favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all his people about me? Moses felt frustrated. Don't you get frustrated sometimes? I do. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I feel frustrated sometimes when you try to talk to family members, you try to talk to work associates, you're trying to do your best to be a good witness, and all of a sudden it seems like nothing is taking hold, nothing is making sense. You get frustrated in your walk with the Lord. You start turning away the other way. You start saying, you know what? Is it worth it? Is it worth going on? Listen how Moses was during this period of time. God provided soldiers. Here's what Israel was saying. God will kill us here out in the promised land. He parts the Red Sea. What shall we drink? Sweetened water at manna, at Marah. We'll die of hunger, manna from heaven. We'll die of thirst, water from the rock. Who will give us meat? Quail's scent. We'll never see the conquered land. God spares the people but allows them to wander 40 years. Complain, complain, complain. Provision, provision, provision. Complain, complain, complain. Provision, provision, provision. How often do we complain, complain, complain? But God says, you know what? I've already provided for you. I've given you a good home. I give you a healthy family. I've provided a way for you to escape. Complain, complain, complain. We're no different than Israel was during those periods of times. We are no different. We are so short-sighted, and I'm preaching to myself, guys. If I'm sounding rough, I don't mean it. We are short-sighted that we're only happy for that minute and a half we get through the Wendy's drive-thru. We get through the drive-thru, and a minute and a half later, we're complaining, complaining, complaining. The food wasn't on time. It wasn't right. It wasn't accurate. You've got an opportunity to get something through a drive-thru. Let's go to Atlanta one day by Fulton County and look at all those homeless people that are up and down the streets there looking for food. Let me take you to the food bank over there down right by the Fox Theater there that when you first come off the exit. And look at the soup line of people lining up just to get a bowl of soup and a sandwich. Those are people that should be complaining. Now, am I saying that they're all wrong in what they did? No, some of them probably got themselves in situations like that. But we have no room to complain. We have no room to complain in our lives. What else? What other feelings do we have during this period of time? Look at 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19. Go over to 1 Kings. What are some other feelings we feel during turbulent times that are going on in our lives? We're going to look at Elijah. In 1 Kings, we're going to go to chapter 18. We'll be in 18 and 19. But here's Elijah. I've got two favorite people in the Bible. I've got three. First one's of my Lord Jesus. But the second one is Peter, because I can relate so much to Peter. Open mouth, insert foot. Open mouth, insert foot. Walk on the water, I'm fine. Look around at your troubles, I sink like a marble. Amen? Peter's my kind of guy, but I like Elijah. And the reason why I like Elijah, because he's a common man, but he had an uncommon message. He was a common man, but he had an uncommon message. Here he was, a man that slew 450 false prophets, and he also slew 450 prophets of Baal from the groves. He prayed fire down from heaven. He prayed rain into a drought area. He outran a chariot 17 miles from Jezreel to Mount Carmel. 17 miles he outran a chariot. He had the power of God encamped around him, and he was a spiritual leader for Israel during this time. He had everything that an individual would want for his life. I can imagine Elijah, they said he ate, locusts and honey a lot of times, and he also had his rough-looking outerwear, and I could just see underneath there was probably a cape, and he had the big S underneath of it, the big Superman kind of guy, because that's what he was. He was a man's man. But let me caution you, when you're going through trials in our lives and we have temptations, when you go through these victories like Elijah had, fire from heaven, killing 450 false prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of the groves, bringing down rain after a drought, outrunning a chariot 17 miles, all the things that he did, you better be cautioned, because whenever you go through victories like that, there's going to be some trials and temptations that come right behind it. Amen? There's going to be trials and temptations. When you go through that victory, be careful, because there's a valley coming. It may not be in just a short season, but there's going to be a valley that's going to come during that period of time. I've got here, great things happened when God's hand was on Elijah, but doom, despair, and destruction came when he got out of God's power. Look at 1 Kings 19:3 and 4. Let me help you here. Here's how you can help yourself to get through those periods of time when you're having those feelings. When you're having feelings of rejection and fear, defeat. When you're alone, when you're discouraged. When you're afraid to look around the corner because you don't know what's around that corner, what's going to happen. Here's the suggestion that the Scriptures give us in 1 Kings 19:3 and 4. 1 Kings 19:3 and 4. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, talking about Elijah, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Nowhere in that verse of Scripture did he say God was directing him to do those things. He took it upon himself to go to Beersheba. He took it upon himself to go to Horeb. He took it upon himself to go all these different directions. When you look at 1 Kings 18, which we won't go there, 36 and 38, God was leading him. God was directing his life. Blessings were coming upon the life of Elijah. Power was there. But all of a sudden he starts going his different ways. He starts going his own direction. And when you see the power of God leaving from his life. So we see that if we want to have victories during those periods of time, we've got to stay in the power of God. During Elijah's trials, he left God. Elijah was, the best of men are men at their best. The best of a man, the best man in this room tonight, the most spiritual-filled individual in this room tonight, the prayer warrior in this room tonight, the best of the men are only a man at their best. You can be tempted. You will be tempted in your lives. I mean, if our Lord and Savior was tempted 40 days and 40 nights, how much more are we going to be tempted in our lives? How much more are the trials going to come about on our lives? Elijah was a man subject to the passions that we are, but yet he prayed, it says in James chapter 5 and 11. Some of the characteristics that we're going to see during these times of trials and tribulations in our lives, first of all, was persecution and ridicule. If you're still in 1 Kings chapter 19, 1 and 2, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to face ridicule. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and with how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thine life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, by this time." Hey, here's God's Superman, Elijah, but yet all of a sudden ridicule came his way. Persecution came his way. Turbulent times leads us to valleys, leads us to deserts, leads us to a barren time in our lives. Look at 3 and 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. I already read that one. It leads his time towards the desert place, a desert time. Just think about what a desert is. It's a dry time. When Moses was 40 days or 40 years in the desert, just think about what it is. It's a dry time. You don't see a whole lot of habitation growing during a desert experience. It's dry. Very little growth goes on in a desert. You become trapped in the mouth. All of a sudden you start seeing mirages. There's no growth. It's hot. It's secluded. You're by yourself. That's exactly the situation that goes on in our lives when we're facing trials and temptations within our lives as well. 1 Kings 19 and 8 talks about 40 days. And he arose and did eat and drank and went in the strength of thy meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. He even went further down. It said that Beersheba was 200 miles, was the furthest south city in the country of Judah, in the southern part of Judah. So he left God's protection. He left God's area and traveled 200 miles south, farthest away, farthest secluded area. And then he went another distance as well. 40 days he traveled, night and day, in a time of testing. It's an interesting contrast when you look at Horeb here. What is it? Verse number 3 and 4? 19, 3 and 4? No, I'm sorry, verse number 8. Look at the word Horeb. I thought this was kind of interesting. It says here, meet 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. You got to understand that Horeb right there is Mount Sinai. You remember what happened at Mount Sinai? That's where Moses received the Ten Commandments during that period of time. It's a place where he received the commandments. It's the same mountain range, Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai. It's the same connecting range that ties it up to Mount Calvary. Calvary, Golgotha. That same mountain range is one and the same, going from side to side. And we see the contrast here. I wrote it down this afternoon. At Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, the law was presented to the nation of Israel. But when you look at Mount Calvary, Golgotha, the law was replaced at Mount Calvary, Golgotha, by our Lord Jesus Christ. It was replaced during that time. We see at Horeb, Mount Sinai, we see times that God may have showed himself in the powerful nature and acts. And we see that at Mount Sinai. But look at Calvary. God showed himself in an almighty storm and in an earthquake. But here's the key. In verse number 12, even though there were storms in both areas, at Calvary, it was a storm. It was a dark clouds. It was rumbling. It was an earthquake. The curtain was broken twain. At Mount Horeb, at Mount Sinai, there was an earthquake during that time, as well as it talks about here. The rocks were broken before. But God didn't show up at Mount Sinai and Horeb during those times of the earthquakes. But here's where God showed up. Verse 12. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Think about it. In the storms, in the fires, in the earthquakes, during the trials, during the tribulations, during those times that you just can't figure out what's going on in your life, you're going to see the earthquakes, you're going to see the fires, you're going to feel the earthquake, but God's going to show up in that still, small voice. So what's that telling me? What's it telling you? It's telling me during those periods of time, just like it talks about in the book of Psalms, Selah, S-E-L-A-H, that word, you see it so often at the beginning of each one of those stanzas, it tells us to pull away from those periods of times. Get away with God and listen for that still, small voice. He's trying to talk to you. But if you concentrate on the earthquakes and the fire and the trials and the temptations and the tribulations that come our way, we're never going to hear, as it says in verse number 12, that still, small voice, God trying to talk to us. What other feelings do we have during those times? Our vision becomes impaired. Look at verse number 10. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. That's Elijah talking. Seven different times in verses 10 and 14, you see the word I, or the word my, the pronoun used. During those periods of times in our life, we're having issues. We're having trials. We're walking with blinders. All we can see is in front of us. We can't see the sides. We got to focus on the Lord. Let Him be the leader of our walk. How do you overcome these? Real quick. How do you overcome these? 8:21. How do we overcome these? First of all, frustration, heartbreak, ridicule, loneliness, impaired vision. Keep your eyes on the Lord. If you go back to the verse of Scripture we said, Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understandings. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways, and He will direct thy path. That's the only way, folks, that we're going to get through trials and tribulations in our lives if we have to go to Proverbs 3, 5, trust in the Lord. We won't go to it, but 1 Peter 2 and 21 says, He is our pattern to be followed in His footsteps. That word pattern talks about it being an example. If you want to get through those periods of time in our life when the world's upside down and chaos and earthquakes and fires and trials and tribulations, we got to pattern our life after Him. I think we're all educators. I was going to ask who's an educator in here, who's a teacher, but I think if I think about it, we're all teachers. We're all educators. You're educating your grandchildren, your children. It may be nieces or nephews. It could be at a school. It could be at a high school. It could be. But that word example is the same word that's used when they would teach kids in the Old Testament or New Testament about how to write Hebrew. They would have the word down and then they would copy over it and say, okay, copy this over. Follow this pattern. Direct it correctly and follow it as an example. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. He's given us an example. The Lord is our example to follow after. He is our pattern to follow after. And then lastly, He is our pilot. We've already read it, Proverbs 3, 6 and B. He shall direct our paths. He will be our pilot. I've got here, He's not our co-pilot. How many of y'all have seen those license plates up front? God is my co-pilot. You just want to go over and rip it off the front of that car. Say, wait a minute. He is not a co-pilot. He is your pilot. He is the pilot. He won't misguide us. He won't mislead us. He won't misdirect us as well. He's our co-pilot when things go wrong in our lives. He's our pilot when things go wrong in our lives. I recently took a business trip up to Erie, Pennsylvania. I guess it was a month, 2 months ago. And coming back from Atlanta, there was some cloudy weather. And the pilot got on from the front of the cabin there and said, hey, we've got some issues coming into Hartsville. And we typically come in from the north. He said, but what we've got to do is we've got to go ahead and reroute our route. He said, we're going to come around the west side of Atlanta. We're going to come around through Milledgeville. We're going to fly over Milledgeville. We're going to come back around the east side of Atlanta and then go up to the north of Hartsville and come back down. A lot of people were getting upset because they were afraid they're going to miss their connector flights. But the pilot said, hey, we're not going to lose a whole lot of time, but we're going to get by the storm that's passing through Atlanta. He said, radar tower control in Hartsfield's already told us that the storm's out there. They see it on radar. We're going to bypass that storm. We're going to come back in through the north side. The pilot couldn't see the issue. It was unseen. The only thing he can do is trust, listen, obey, honor, and submit to what Hartsfield International told him. When that tower told him, these are things you want to do. If you want to have safety, you better listen, trust, obey, honor, and submit to what we've got to tell you. Otherwise, you're going to hit that storm, and it could be devastating for all those individuals on that plane. Guys, the same thing in our lives. You want to have a successful Christian life? You want to get through that storm that you're going through? You're going through some tough decisions you got to make? I just gave you the success for life. It's not going to cost you thousands of dollars. You don't have to sit and listen to Dr. Phil or Dr. Oz or Judge Judy or any of those. Just go to the Bible. Six words will help you to get through those times. Listen, trust, obey, fear, honor, and submit. God bless you. Appreciate your time. Brother Mike.